Okay, thank you so much for coming out on the Sunday night. This is going to be way better than Netflix, I tell you. Way better. So I want this to be very interactive. This is just like a life group. This is not a church service. This is not a church service. No, it's not. This is just friends coming together, like in a little life group, to talk about reaching out, to talk about Jesus. And so at any time, just put your hand up, and if someone could run a mic. Have we got a mic? Cool. Thanks, bro. Samuel's going to run a mic. That'd be great. So we did our first one last week, and it went for an hour and a half. And we got through some bits and pieces. I see some new faces here. So before we launch into that, let's just pray. Jesus, Father, I just want to thank you for what you did in this house today. Lord, for those beautiful souls. Father, I just pray right now that you would protect every single one of them. Lord, that this week would be such a phenomenal week in their lives. Lord, that you would just be blowing on the coals of their hearts. Father, that you would just be revealing yourself in deeper ways. How much you love them. That you died for them. Father, we thank you for them, Jesus. I pray for angels, warfaring and ministering angels, to be around about them. Thank you, Jesus. And Lord, I pray tonight that you just anoint my tongue. Lord, I pray that my words will be like piercing arrows that would hit every single heart. Lord, that we tonight would fall more in love with you and talk about you in public and not listen to the fear, but be led by you. Father, I thank you for a spirit of courage. Your precious name. Amen. Amen. Cool. So last week we touched on the fivefold. Who in the room sits in the office of a fivefold evangelist? Anyone in the room? Yeah, cool. Great question. So the easiest way to explain that is Jesus was the fivefold. Jesus was the pastor, the teacher, the apostle, the evangelist, and the prophet. He was all five. So what he's done, which I think is a pretty clever idea, if we can just turn me down just a wee bit, it's pretty clever. He's given these gifts, these five gifts, to his body. I carry the gift of evangelism. I didn't even know what it was. It was a free gift given by God. But what's so beautiful about this is for me to be effective, I need to work with the other four offices. So it's a way that God has created this that we have to be unified, that we actually have to work together. For me to work as an evangelist, I need the prophet. I need the teacher, I need the pastor, the apostle, and vice versa. That the fivefold gifting is for us to work together. It's amazing. And Jesus was the fivefold. He was the most phenomenal evangelist. The woman at the well, wow. And like I said last week, in my world, a man prophesied over me a couple of years before I even got saved that I was an evangelist. I didn't even believe in God. And over the years, I've found that, yeah, that gift is in me. And it's not that I want to tell people about God. It's that I want to do this. Because the job, my job in that fivefold office is not to go and knock on Mrs. Jones's door and say, hey, Mrs. Jones, I just want you to know God loves you. That's not my job as an evangelist. But for so many years, that was the job. That's what people put on me. They would say to me, hey, your job as an evangelist is to be out there on the streets preaching the gospel. Your job as an evangelist is to bring people to church. seriously? Like, there's, how many? There's 40 of us in here. So if I'm the only evangelist, so that means that this week, when we go to work and school and whatever, I'm the only one in this group that talks about Jesus, that invites people to church, that prays for the sick. Doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense. But my job is to do this. Do you know, I love doing this. This is my sweet spot. Whether there was, I've done these where there's been 5 people, 3 people even. And I've done these where there's been 1,500 people. This is my sweet spot. Why? Because when I stand up and preach like I did this morning, that's not necessarily using that gift of evangelism. It is, it's preaching the gospel, it's telling stories, it's talking about God, and yes, there's a flavor of that comes through, but this here tonight, this is the job of the evangelist. I'm going after it. I'm here to equip you. Because that's the job of the fivefold, to equip the body so we'll rise and shine for Jesus, to make Jesus famous wherever we go. It's really cool. And I think that's amazing. I wrote this just in the car park before. I think so often we can overcomplicate it. That's why I got Carmen to make that slide, the simplicity of the gospel. Because I think we can overcomplicate witnessing. Because we don't do witnessing. We don't go out and do witnessing. Like, we don't go out and do evangelism. And I think if we have that mindset, like I get messages from people, and it's cool. I'm sweet with it. Hey, Daz, I'd love to go out with you and do some evangelizing. I don't actually go out and ever do evangelizing. You see, because my life is the message. So my life is sharing Jesus wherever I go. So I don't turn it on and turn it off. I don't go, oh, I've got an hour free, I'll go and do some evangelizing. Oh, but I better go and get petrol first, then I'll go evangelizing. No, no, when I go and get petrol, I'm on outreach. Because my life is the outreach. So you don't have to do evangelism. You don't have to do witnessing. You are the witness. You are the outreach. Because freely we receive, so freely we give. And there's another lie that I've heard so often in church life, that you will reach people that I can't reach and I'll reach people that you can't reach. What the heck? It's the same Holy Ghost that's in me, that's in you, that's in a lovely 80-year-old nana or a 12-year-old boy. The Holy Ghost doesn't change. You look in someone's eyes and you say, hey, I just want you to know that God loves you. Whether that comes from a 12-year-old me or an 80-year-old, it's gonna stick. Why? Because the power of the seed. Because when you hear with your ears, Jesus loves you, but that person is looking into your eyes and the eyes are the windows to your soul, it makes sense. This is a story that I wrote in the car just before. I was at the beach yesterday going surfing with my son and 2 friends. This dude pulled up and he was just standing around the car as we were getting changed. So I just went over and said, hey, bro, I just want you to know that God loves you, man. So simple. So simple. He wasn't an inconvenience. People are not an inconvenience. Well, it took an extra 5 minutes to get in the surf. That's actually okay. Because these conversations we're having with people have eternal consequences. He said something really interesting. I'd waved to him a few times. I've seen him down at Amberley Beach a few times. We may have had one conversation a couple of years ago, but very, very brief. And when I said, hey, bro, God loves you heaps, man, he goes, yeah, I know. I said, awesome, awesome. Are you a Christian? He said, no, I'm not a Christian, but I've been following you on Facebook. He said, I love the one where you stood up in the shopping mall and preached. I thought, wow, isn't that amazing? Isn't that such an amazing platform for us to share the gospel when people are watching and we don't even know that they're watching? So people are encountering God just through a simple post. So I thought I'd put that video up for you. I just cut it a little bit shorter. So check this video that this man at the beach watched yesterday. If we just dim the lights. So that man watched that, and it goes for 2.5 minutes, and we preach the gospel and sing Amazing Grace. The reason that I wanted to show you that is the power of social media. It's powerful, man, and it can be used for so much good. My kids told me last week there was something on TikTok or something that someone filmed their own suicide. How disgusting and evil is that? But we can use that same platform for good. If there's ever a time for us to share the gospel and go after people, man, with the love of the Father, it's now. I feel very distracted right now because I've got a couple of things running through my head, and one of the things I don't really want to talk about, but I need to. So on hell does not motivate me. It actually doesn't. It doesn't motivate me to be bold. It doesn't motivate me to go into dark situations and be light. It doesn't motivate me to preach strong gospel messages. It doesn't motivate me. And I've checked my heart on this over the years. Do you know what does motivate me? That His love came and found me when I was such a mess. And if His love can do that to me, His love can do that to anyone. That's what motivates me. And I'm not scared to talk about hell, but it's not my thing. I've had people say to me, oh, mate, I stopped this, following you and this because you're such a... hell guy. I'm not a hell guy at all. I'm a Jesus guy. So saying that, on Wednesday morning, I get up each morning before my family gets up and just have some dad's time and some Jesus time. And this was different. This was a really crazy morning, man. So I'm just sitting and I felt God say to me, listen. And I'm just sitting there with my eyes closed, just listening to nothing. There was nothing to listen to. I didn't have worship music going. There was nothing. It was just listening to nothing. And after, 30 seconds, a minute, I'm thinking, listening, can't hear anything. I didn't hear God's audible voice say, listen. But because I spend time with Him, I know His thoughts. So I know the Father's thoughts. And I had this thought to listen, so that's why I was listening. It's not a gift to hear God's voice. It's a birthright. Because with sons and daughters, He'd be a pretty average dad if He never spoke. He's a good dad. Really, really good dad. And so I'm listening and nothing's happening, and my mind started drifting off. Oh, I wonder what the surf will be like today. Da, 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 da. And then He just kept saying, listen, just listen. And I could feel there was an urgency in it. And so as I'm just sitting there and I'm listening, I could start hearing this noise, and it was a long, long way away. And I could just really, I was almost even leaning in to try and hear it clearer, and I didn't know what it was, but I could definitely hear something. And I'm just listening and listening, but it was like the noise was slowly getting closer and closer and closer to me. The only picture that I had in my mind, in my heart, was I was standing in a paddock, just stationary, just like a screenshot or a photo. I'm just standing in a paddock. And I got my eyes closed and I'm just hearing. And then I hear sort of like, oh, oh. And I'm thinking, man, that's like people screaming. And as I'm processing what I'm hearing, I'm thinking, man, that's like 50-odd people. Sounds like they're screaming. And then it gets closer and closer, and I can hear help. I can hear it. I can hear people screaming out help. And I'm going, oh, my goodness. And then it just gets closer and closer, and the 50 screaming turns into 100, 1,000, 10,000, 100,000, and it's super loud, man. Super loud, and I'm freaking out. I'm just going, oh my goodness, what is this? And I am freaking out because it is so loud, it is so intense, it is so terrifying. I was fully freaking out, and I knew there was people in that crowd that I'd shared with that rejected Jesus. I knew that in my heart. I knew some of the sound that I'm hearing is people that I've bumped into. And I start weeping and go, oh my goodness. And God said, this is what hell sounds like. This is what it sounds like. And then it just gets closer and closer. And the best way that I can explain it was like when you're on, I'm on planes a lot, the engines are super loud. And it was like this massive engine was in my ears just, but it was people screaming. It was people in terror. It was people just crying out. And then God said to me, remember that sound. Never forget that sound. That sound has scarred me, man. He said, remember that sound when you're getting persecuted. Remember that sound when people are coming against you. Remember that sound when you're getting mocked. Remember that sound when on Facebook you're getting hammered. Remember that sound when you're in churches and they're telling you to calm down. Remember that sound. And he just kept telling me to remember the sound in all these different situations that I struggle with in life. Remember the sound. Remember the sound. Remember the sound. Hell is so real. It is so real. And it's not God's will that one would perish. He left the 99 to go and find the one. The harvest is ripe. And the laborers are few. The evangelist's job is to harvest the harvesters. For me to share my heart with you guys, that you would see someone on the street or in a shop or at the wherever, and just see them how God sees them. Because you don't need any big, say this, then say this, then say this, then say, just be you. Just be you. God's given you your personality. And it's the same Holy Ghost that's in you that rose them up from the dead. The power of God lives in you. But there is a devil. There really is. The Bible says he's the father of lies. And he'll give you 1,000 reasons why not to share with that lady. You walk into the Palms and say, God, who do you want me to share with today? Do you really think you go, no one today, have a day off? He'll go, that one, then that one, then that one, then that one. And you'll find when you start sharing, and we'll break this down a little bit for you soon. So because sharing the gospel the way I do it, like on that video, that's not the way that you guys need to do it. It's probably best you don't, actually. God wants you to use your giftings, your personality, the things in your life that you're passionate about. People say to me all the time, how do you start a conversation with someone? Normally, hello works really well. Just hello. Just start talking to people. Just start a normal conversation. Hey, man, I I love your t-shirt, bro. That's really cool. Awesome. Hey, man, I just want you to know that God loves you, man. Just like the guy at the beach yesterday. The simplicity of the gospel. You would be blown away if you were to step out of the boat and open your mouth and talk to people about God. You'd be blown away with how sweet it can be when God is using you and flowing through you and people's lives are getting impacted. I was preaching in Hamilton a couple of weeks ago, and we're in this restaurant, and we were just had a couple of hours downtime. So we weren't on outreach. We weren't doing ministry stuff. There was just my son, Carmen and Michael, the four of us, just in a restaurant. And the waitress came over, and she's just giving us all our stuff and everything. And she said, when she took the dessert away, she said, "How was it?" And she gave us this like apple pie, and it was like super posh, like it's like a $20 pie, and it tasted, it wasn't lovely, it was too flash. So I said to her, I said, "I didn't really like the pie." And she said, "What was wrong with it?" I said, it's a bit posh, I like just the normal bakery pies." So she's laughing and we're having a bit of a joke about it, and then she takes the half-eaten pie away and she said, "Is there anything else?" And I said, "Yeah, just one other thing." And she said, "Oh, okay, what's that?" And she went to get her pen to write down what I was gonna order. And I said to her, I just looked her straight in the eye and I said, "I just want you to know that God loves you so much." And tears, she just stood there, and tears start welling up in her eyes. We didn't say another word for about 15, 20 seconds. She was just like a stunned mullet. These tears are welling up. And I said, "He's got such a plan for your life. He thinks you are absolutely beautiful." And then she just wipes her eyes and takes off. You see, that's not an evangelist in a restaurant. That's just a normal Christian in a restaurant. Exact same thing. Another thing in a restaurant, when I was in Oz, beginning of the year, I shared with a lady, and she, a waitress, and she just said, "Really?" And I said, "Yes, really. He loves you that much." She dropped her pen and pad and stuff on the table and ran into the kitchen, bawling her eyes out. Wow. The simplicity of the gospel. And all I said was, "God loves you. He thinks you're amazing." I'm just telling people the truth. I don't get into debating theology. I'm just not intelligent enough for that. Like, serious, was it Moses in the ark or Noah? It was definitely one of them. I'm not sure what one, but one of them built a boat. But it doesn't matter, because what I do, that was a joke. I know it was Moses. That's another joke. But what I do know is I walked into a church as a broken young man to meet girls, and I met God. That's what I do know. That's what I can bank on. That's something that no one can arm wrestle me or argue me out of. I met God. And I can't unmeet him, because I met him. He's changed my life. And if he can do what he's done in me, he can do that in anyone, man. Like, seriously, even doing what I do, traveling and that, I often think, I'm in churches and I'm sitting in the front row, microphone on, getting ready to preach, and I'm thinking, what on earth am I doing here? I should be here listening to these people. What on earth am I doing here? I'll tell you what I'm doing here. I drove down the motorway from Christchurch to Kaiapoi one morning, and I was screaming out in my car, "Here I am, God! Send me, man! Send me!" And he did. He'll use anyone. All he wants is a hungry, holy heart, and he'll send you to the nations, man. But you need to be planted. Planted in a church where you can have people speaking into your life, because I'm accountable for every word that comes out of my mouth. So you need good people around you that can challenge you and love you and give you a wee kick when you need one. Okay, do we have any questions? Questions can be a bit scary, I know, but divorce fear. Who's running the mic, Sam?
was just, hallelujah. I was just going to ask, last week I remember you saying something about don't be disheartened. Was that right? If you get denied when you pray for someone?
Yeah.
So that happened to me, and I used your advice, and it worked. It was quite funny. I was on my way to the gym, had my headphones blaring, and I seen this older gentleman walking, and he had a limp. And I was like, oh, yeah, I'm going to pray for you, brother. And he comes up, and I stopped him. I said, sir, I just want to tell you something, exactly what you're saying. And I says, you know what, brother, Jesus loves you. And he was like, oh, what? And started freaking out. So it's okay, brother, you know. And I was like, I've seen you got a limp there, brother. I want to pray for you. And he's like, oh, I haven't got a limp. And I was like, yeah, you do. I've seen it. He's like, no. And I was like, I've seen it. I'm going to pray for you, brother. And I tried to pray for him. And he was like, oh, and he just gapped it. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, that sucks. And I carried on walking. And it disheartened me. I'm not going to lie. And I was like, oh, well, okay. Maybe I didn't do that right. So I carried on walking. Just before I got to the gym, I seen a guy who I've seen multiple times. He's homeless, he stays with his mum now, and he's sitting there just all creeped up, and he's got lazy eye and stuff, and he looked like he's covered in demons, to be honest. And I says, hey, brother, do you know Jesus? And he goes, I know who Jesus is. And I says, but do you know him? He's like, no. And I says, he loves you, bro, and I love you too, cuz. Come here. And I gave him a hug. And then I said, brother, I'm just going to pray for you right now. And I prayed over him. And then he goes, oh, have you got $20? And I says, nah, but I can bring you to God as a vessel. And he grabbed my number and he's texted me.
Awesome.
So my question is, did I do it right? Or did I do it wrong?
Yeah, you did it totally wrong, man. You totally blew it. My question to you is, what is success? Did God tell you to go and speak to that guy? Because our success as humans, I think it's a wee bit different to success from the Father.
Yeah.
Because I believe success is obedience.
Mm.
And whether he goes, oh my goodness, my knee, yes, I have got a limp and there I don't, praise God, hallelujah, what must I do to be saved?
Mm.
Or get out of my face, I don't have a limp.
Yeah.
The fact is that you went and shared, that is a success story.
Yeah.
I'm going to say this, man. God's really challenged me on this in the lockdown, when we were properly locked down. I was in my office and I was kneeling down having a beautiful God time, and I just saw these pictures of altar calls that I've had, like at Promise Keepers and different things where hundreds of people responded, and I just see these pictures and just go, oh yeah, that was so good. Oh wow, yeah. And I felt God say, so no, what if no one responded? Does that make the night a fail?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, yes. Yeah. Because in my heart, you preach the gospel. And this is me being vulnerable. If I'm not going to be vulnerable, there's no point in me doing this.
Yeah.
And because if my heart's success is how many people respond and no one responds, then, And I felt God say to me, rebuke me. Because he disciplines those that he loves. And say, that is pride.
Mm.
Because I'm going to get you to preach things that others won't preach and no one will respond. But the success of that meeting is your obedience to me, not how many people walk up the front.
Yeah.
So now, and it's just taken so much pressure off.
Yeah.
Like it really has. It's like, I remember the first preach after COVID was at a friend of mine's church. And I sat on the stage. I didn't even raise my voice. I said, well, maybe you're here today and you want to give your life to Jesus. My preaching's over. Because that's the bit that God and I are working on together.
Mm.
That's the bit. The people's heart, that's the bit that hey, God and them is working on together.
Yeah.
That's not my bit. That's their bit. And I don't want to ever get into that position where I'm manipulating or trying to arm wrestle people to responding when it's not God.
Right.
Hear my heart though, I will always preach a hot gospel because it's hot, it's fire, and it is what it is. We're talking life and death, there's an urgency to it, but in my heart as a minister, to not be fazed by the response, to just be focused on being obedient to what God wants me to say, has been so liberating for me. I had a pastor say to me a week ago, he said, "Oh, bro, I'd love to take you out for coffee and you can teach me how to do altar calls." I said, "Mate, I'd love to go out for a coffee with you and let's just talk about Jesus." Mm. Let's just talk about Jesus. Because I think sometimes, you know, it gets into a little bit of methodology. And I don't want that. I don't want that. I want people to respond to Christ because they realize that they need him. They realize that they're fully in. They realize that today is the day that's going to change my life. And then they become a disciple. They become a son. They're not someone that whips a hand up because, "I'll give this Jesus thing a go." I don't want that, man. Because I'm accountable for every word that comes out of my mouth. And it has been so freeing for me. And it's just a process. I mean, we're all on a journey. And for me on the street, that was a process, I don't know, 5 years ago. I just wasn't into just leading, "Hey, could you say my prayer, da-da-da-da-da." There were some people, and it's just, "Hey, man, today's your day. Why wouldn't you give your life to Jesus?" "Yeah, right, let's do it." But 90% of the time, it was just sowing seeds. And there was a real freedom in that, and that took pressure off me because then I became not a soul winner. I know the Bible says he who wins souls is wise, but I'm a seed scatterer. I want to scatter seeds wherever I go. Because God and I, we're working on this together. We co-labor in this, not alone. It's not a dad's thing. It's a Calvary thing. It's amazing. So, bro, I think what you did was amazing. And for me, sometimes when people push back hardcore on me, it was only a couple of months ago, some gang guys, one of them threw me up against the fence, and I thought, "Oh my goodness." I was just worried about my new glasses, because these are $1,200. I was thinking, "Oh man, Bree's going to be so angry if my new glasses get broken." I'm thinking about my glasses. And in that moment, when he's pushing me up and yelling in my face, I'm thinking, "Man, this is success." They're not all going to kneel down and say, "What must I do to be saved?" But the seed sticks, man. The seed sticks that even when he's grabbed me and pushed me up against the wall, I'm still going, "Bro, I love you, man. And God loves you, man." That's got to play on someone's heart, man. That even though you're trying to intimidate, you're trying to physically hurt someone, they're still saying, "God loves you." It's amazing. Obedience is the key. So, spot on. Any other questions? Yeah. Have we got a mic?
Sorry.
Thanks, bro.
Thank you. I'm a pharmacist and from down in Ashburton. And obviously, all the years I was there, once I became a Christian, people would be coming in all the time for this and that and what have you, particularly bad backs. And they'd be coming in and the Lord, well, I'd take them over to the painkiller shelf and they said, "Oh no, I've tried that, that doesn't work." "No, that doesn't work either, that doesn't work." One particular morning, this dapper businessman came in. He was in a hurry, off to an address, looked like a very popular meeting. And same thing, he said, "What do you got for bad backs?" And took him over to the same thing for the cataflam and the paracetamol. And he said, no, they don't work. That doesn't work. And then I start hearing this little voice say, "Ask him if he wants prayer." And I say, "No, Lord, he won't want prayer. He's in a hurry. And he looks like he wants to get out, get something to take and go." And he says, "Ask him." So I plucked up courage and I said, "Look, I'm a Christian and I believe the Lord can heal. Would you like me to pray for you?" And he looked at me sort of with a funny look and gave a nod. And so I took him around just around the corner where it was private and prayed for him, just a simple prayer that we all pray. And then me of little faith said, "Now, do you still want to buy the cataflap?" And he looked at me with a slight grin and said, "No, thanks," and walked out of the shop. And then I sat there wondering, now, when he gets to his meeting, is he going to use me as the opening joke, this crazy chemist up the road? And I kept, you know, from there, it was sort of every time I thought about, what happened to that guy, Lord? What happened to that guy? And the months went past, and the years have gone past. What happened to him, Lord? I'd love to know what happened to him. And then the little voice came back to me again and said, Dickie said, it's not your business what happened to him. All I've asked you to do is to pray for people. I said, hallelujah, Lord. I've got it. And so that set me free from being embarrassed about praying for people.
Awesome.
The Lord said, you pray for them, and then it's my business what I do with it. So be encouraged. That lets us free from having anything to do with it at all. We do our bit, and he'll do what he wants to do.
Yeah, that's it, man. That's it. That's good. That's awesome. That's cool. Any other questions? That wasn't really a question, though, was it? It's more of a weak preach, but it was good. I like it. Keep sharing, man, and that chemist. Because wouldn't it be cool they just come in to get prayer? No, don't worry about that. I just want you to lay your hands on me again and pray for me. So good, man. Anyone else? Cool. Let's move along. So last week, I'll just quickly go through this. These are the excuses that I hear with my travels from people. These are the excuses, Breezy and I wrote these down, because this is what I hear the most. Number one is, evangelism is not my gift, like I touched on before. Evangelism is not my gift. So many people say, I don't share the gospel because evangelism is not my gift. Well, that's great. So then you don't need to be equipping the body of Christ in evangelism, but Jesus said, go into all the world. Isn't it interesting that Jesus gathers 144 together? He splits them into two groups, extroverts over here and introverts over there. He sends the extroverts out into the street. He says to the introverts, the other 72 introverts, you stay behind and intercede in a dark room for the extroverts. Or did Jesus gather 72 together with all different personality types, all different gift mixes, and he sends those 72 out? That's the Bible. That's what happened. It does not matter what your personality type is. It doesn't. It doesn't matter what you've got on those tests. It matters what you carry inside of you. If you grab a hold of what you carry, like if these steps that I'm taking now, I'm taking them with God. It's amazing. I just took these four steps with God. How cool is that? So when I leave here and go to my car, I'm driving home with God. The same God that created the heavens and earth lives in me. So we're not alone. In the youth events that I speak at, and that when kids are responding, and when I say to them, hey, you're not alone, it just breaks them. Because they may have 5,000 friends on Facebook or Instagram or TikTok, and they feel so lonely. Right. We're not alone. God's in us. He loves us. And this here, this is the bread of life. This is amazing. Get stuck into this. Don't read books just about this. That's right. Or listen to teaching just about this. Other people's opinion about this. Get into it yourself. Let Holy Ghost guide you through these pages and show you these remas, these things that will touch your life forever so you're never the same again. I can remember, it's probably about 2 years ago, I was talking to Wes about Sodom and Gomorrah. And I was on this real fear of God. I just wanted to understand more of the fear of God. And then I found this. I'd never heard this preached. I didn't Google fear of God, best scriptures. I was just reading my Bible one day and I read this. I just fell over this. And it's changed my life. Psalm 2, verses 11 says this. Remembering this was written 1,044 years before Jesus. Just blows my mind. I've been camping in here for like 6 months. It's amazing. This is what it says. Serve the Lord with fear and celebrate his rule with trembling. Verse 12. Kiss his son or he will be angry and your way will lead to your destruction. For his wrath can flare up in a moment. Wow. Those grace preachers would struggle with this one, man. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. That's the gospel. So for me, in my life, in my little life, I purposely won't do some things because I don't want to hurt my father. So I fear him enough that I honor him and I don't want to hurt him. My kids don't wake up in the morning and get together before dad gets up and go, okay, we're chettles. We've got to be good chettles today. We've got to be good. We've got to do this. We've got to do that. We've got to make dad happy. We've got to really try and please dad today. They wake up and destroy the house, man. They know that dad adores them. But they also know that when dad says no, dad means no. Same with father. He doesn't want me to get stuck into this stuff because he knows it will destroy me. That's a good father. It's healthy to fear God. I believe with everything in me, this is not just a Christian, lovely, cool Christian evangelist statement. I believe with everything in me, if we were to fear God, we would not fear people. 100%, man. And I'm on that journey too. The fear thing, I'm on that journey as well. And I've been out with some amazing evangelists, really well-known preachers in restaurants and done stuff, crazy stuff with these people. And one in particular, just to respect them, I won't use his name, but we were just having dinner. He said, hey, bro, can you pray for me? I go, yeah, man. I said, what's going on? He said, I'm going to go and share with them. I go, oh, okay, can you pray for me? I go, yep, good. Thank you, Lord. Pray for boldness and courage. This is the bravest guy I know. But yet, he still sees that shadow of fear that we need to put light on. The devil still comes to try and shut him down. So if these people that are rocking the world still have to push through fear, and God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind, then it may be a spirit that wants to stick to us to calm us down. That's right. We don't need to partner with it. When you get those thoughts, those little arrows, those little darts from the devil, the little, psh, psh, don't do that, don't do that. You don't want to interrupt. You don't want to interrupt their dinner. You don't want to do that on the plane. They won't like you. There might be people in there that know you. You'll get 1,000 reasons why not to share the gospel every time. How do I know that? Because it happens to me. It happens to me. And when I get those thoughts now, I aggressively push forward. And I get bolder and louder because I'm not going to let that thing rob these people of eternity. It's not happening. Because I understand every time I open my mouth, I'm sowing a seed. The power of the seed is like, we could do an hour on that. Oh, gee, that was the first one. Evangelism is not my gift. The second one I hear a lot. My life is already a great example of Christianity. I don't need to share. That annoys me a wee bit. moving right along. I've tried to witness, but it didn't work. Same here, heaps. Oh, my goodness. I put videos up in churches of things that have gone really well. My life doesn't always look like that. More times out of 10, I get people waving at me with one finger than saying, what must I do to be saved? And that's okay when I realize my job is to scatter seed, not to arm wrestle people into saying a prayer so I can do a post on it. Because that's called pride. And if pride can kick an angel out of heaven, what on earth could pride do in the heart of a human? I hear that I'm too busy. I'm just too busy. Do you know, sometimes we can get so busy, and this happens with me too. So busy even doing good ministry stuff. Like I found that when the whole book thing that I went through, it's so consuming. I was so busy. Don't ever be too busy for the person at the supermarket or the fuel station. Don't ever be too busy to be able to say, hey, I just want you to know that God really loves you. I was at another restaurant. Gee, I go to restaurants a lot. I was at this restaurant, and if I'm out with Bree, my wife, my focus is Bree, my wife. I've learned that my wife can sometimes feel second fiddle when my heart is scanning the room to give someone a word of knowledge, when my wife hasn't seen me for a week and she just wants to spend time with her husband. Because I really do believe revival starts in the living room. I really do. And it's been a real journey for me, man. And so we've got boundaries around that. And I remember one night, so we're not going to have big, you know, I'm going to focus on Breezy. But every now and then, we'll just sow a seed. And this dude came over, and he was our waiter, and I just said to him, hey, bro, God loves you, man. He goes, oh, yeah, cool. And I said, bro, you should go to church. And he goes, oh, yeah. I said, no, you should, mate. Actually, you should go to Arise. He goes, what? And I said, you should go to Arise. He goes, whoa, hey, where did that come from? I said, I just felt it in my heart. You should go to Arise. He goes, I used to go to Arise. And I said, you need to go back. And then he just walked away with his head spinning like that as he walked into the kitchen. But that was just a simple wee one-minute conversation that rocked that young man. The simplicity of the gospel, hearing Father's voice. And often with people that have got a lot to say, they have a lot to say. And that can be a problem. Because I believe every great communicator out there is someone that listens. Someone that listens. So when I'm listening to the person that I'm talking to, A, they feel that I'm engaged, which is really important, and not looking over their shoulder, not yawning, not just checking your notifications. You're engaged. But as you're engaged with that person listening, because I want to hear their story. Why? Because I want to hear their story. I'm interested in them. As I'm listening to them, I listen to Father. My ear is open to Him so He can tell me about that person. And that's when I have a decision to make. What God placed on my heart about that person, am I going to have the courage to say it? And sometimes that works amazing. And other times, not so much. How long ago was that? A couple of weeks ago, had a word for someone about their sick. Was it their sick mother or a sister or someone? No, it must have been their sister because they didn't have a sister, but they would have had a mother. I said, I just feel about you've got a sick sister. They go, oh, really? And I go, yeah, should we pray for her? And she said, well, I don't have a sister. I went, oh, okay, cool. Well, I didn't get that right. But what I do know is 24 years ago, I walked into a church to meet God, to meet girls, and I met God. So even when you say the wrong thing, that's okay. Don't beat yourself up. Don't go, well, I'm never going to do that again. I'm obviously no good at it. Because that happens in my world semi-often. And other, like, amazing prophets, they get it wrong sometimes. And that's actually okay. It'd be a little bit scary if every single time it was cool. A lot of people think, well, it's not my responsibility. Yeah, it is. It is your responsibility to shine Jesus wherever you go. And probably the key thing I'm feeling in my heart right now is I know there's people thinking, yeah, but Daz, I'm not like you. I'm telling you, that's a really good thing. Just be you. It's so important for you just to be you. I've got a friend, he pastors an Elevation Church in Byron Bay. Great guy. Lovely guy. He was a drug addict. And one day, off his face, just checking his emails, this girl, a friend of his, sent him this email all about Jesus. He read the email off his face. The following Sunday, went to church, gave his life to Jesus. And now he's a pastor of a church. That started with an email. The simplicity of the gospel, a simple email. He read it. It stirred him enough to find a church, walk into the building, come up the front, get saved, and there he's a pastor. The power of the gospel, that simple email sent. So many stories of testimonies on Facebook and just by putting a post out. And I'm going to tell you a story. How long have we got? Yeah, I'm going to tell you the story. I'm going to tell you some story, then we're going to do some practical keys, and then we're going to pray. Right. I have to be very careful how I word this, so it's going to, little bits are going to be a bit vague, but I want you to get it. There was an evangelist who came to preach in a church in Christchurch, not our church. And he messaged me a couple of weeks earlier and said, hey, I'm going to be in Christchurch, be cool to catch up. And I go, yeah, man, that'd be sick. So I go along to the church. Man, this is powerful, man. How amazing is Jesus? So I go along to the church, and I'm sitting down. I'm just about to put my backside on the seat, and I hear Holy Ghost say, you're going to learn a lot tonight. So I thought, wow, cool, I'm going to learn a lot tonight. Big church, going to learn a lot tonight. So I was watching when this guy was preaching, I was watching, did he have a glass or did he have a bottle? Was he wearing a head mic or did he have a handheld? What scriptures? Did he read out of a Bible? And I do think if you're ever going to preach the gospel, always have one of these. These are really good. I've had the honor of being a part of Reinhard Bonnke's School of Evangelism. And two times as a student and two times leading the outreach. And they hit this very hard. Whenever you preach, don't preach from your phone. Preach from the Word of God. Preach from the Bible. And they're really strong on that. And hence so am I. And I see the value in it. So I'm learning all the stuff and watching and everything's cool. And then it's a big church. And then he gives an altar call. And I had a friend sitting next to me who was going through some really heavy stuff. And so he gives this altar call, and 12 people respond. And I go, oh my goodness, this is amazing. I start tearing up, people responding. This is incredible, man, just hands going up. And he's counting them out, 12, 12, 12, 12, oh wow. And then he said, okay, so we're running low on time. So what I want to do is, you 12, just go to the cafe after the service and you'll see one of the leaders in there. They wear the lanyards. Just tell them tonight you gave your heart to Jesus. And I'm sitting there going, what? And he said, because what we need to do now, we need to open the altar. Because if you need a miracle, you get down here right now. And people were running to the altar. If my friend who was broken at the time was not there, I would have stood up and gone, hey, hang on a minute, what about the 12? Heaven rejoices over one that repents. Sure, heaven must smile when people are getting healed, but 12 people decide to follow Jesus and we just kind of get them off into the cafe after the service because we need to make time for miracles. I said to my friend, I said, hey, I'm going to get going now. And I was irritated. On the way home, I rang my best mate, Pete. He's a pastor. I go, Pete, you're not going to believe it. Da, da, da. He goes, oh, okay, bro. Hey, look, can we talk about it tomorrow? It's going, He doesn't even want to talk about it. What the heck? So I get home and I jump in bed and I'm just like, and Bree says, oh, I love it. I go, Bree, you're not going to believe it. Da, da, da. And she goes, can we talk about that tomorrow? God, are you serious? No one wants to talk about it. We need to talk about this. So I got my phone and I'm looking at my phone next minute, bing. I get a Facebook message. Just this random person. You know on Facebook, if they're not your friend, you need to accept their message before you can have communication. So we're not friends. And I saw it as a young girl, and I said, Breezy, because she said to me in the message, hey, I've been watching your videos tonight. Can we talk? And I said to Breezy, can I have a chat with this chick? And she goes, yeah, go for it. And which is good for boundaries, Breeze knows. And so I messaged her and I said, hey, I'd love to have a chat to you. So I ring her on Messenger. And she goes, hey, Daz, it's crazy. I was watching Facebook tonight and just all your videos just keep coming up. But we're not friends. We don't have people in common. And I've been watching your videos, so I reached out to you. And I said, hey, look, I've had a bit of a rough night. Hearing this is amazing. Hearing this shows me how much Jesus loves you and has got a plan for your life. Man, I'd love to talk with you tonight and pray with you. And she said, you know, I really want to give my life to Jesus. And I was just going, oh, wow. I'd just been in this church. I left because I was really irritated. And then this random girl sends me this message. And I got to minister to her. Isn't that awesome? So when I started talking to her, I said, so what's been going on? And she said, well, this morning I went to church, and they gave an altar call for people to respond, and I want to get saved. And there was just so many people. And I freaked out. And I went, oh, wow. And she said, you know, to be honest with you, Daz, if I hadn't watched your videos tonight, again, the power of social media, she said, I'm not sure where I would be. And I said, what do you mean? She said, because I went to this other church tonight. And I put my hand up at this church tonight. And they said to me that I need to go and find someone in the cafeteria at the end of the service. And I said, are you serious? I said, I was there. You're one of the 12. She said, yeah, what do you mean you were there? And I said, I was there tonight. I left because I was so gutted with the way that you guys got treated. It was not okay. It's not Bible. It's not Jesus. I said, the fact that you were scrolling through Facebook and my stuff was coming up. And she said, oh, my goodness. She said, can you lead me to Jesus? And I said, no way. I said, the moment that you lifted your hand up tonight, I want you to know in that moment, God saw your hand. You walked into that building, a broken young girl, but you put your hand up and said, I want Jesus. That moment was the moment that you were born again. I want to pray for you tonight. And we did. We prayed, and she was just bawling her eyes out. She was so blown away when she found out that I'd been to that church once before in my whole life. Two times in my whole life. And out of those hundreds of people in the room, that she would message me. Do you know what that shows me? That shows me that God's after the one. The one matters. So if the one matters to him, the one must matter to us. Powerful. I remember, I think I said to you, Wes, I want to go and confront them, and I think you said to me, no, just pray for them. Seriously, man, having a captain like Wes has been so good. Not so many bridges get burnt these days. Praise God. I tell you, in the early days, they used to get blown sky high. Actually, Ron and Janet, my friends here from Elam, I was banned from your church many years ago. But not now. I've been saved, 24 years? That was 22 years ago. And now I often preach at your church. As a matter of fact, your new pastor emailed me 2 days ago to preach. and I think I'm coming in a couple of weeks. So that shows why we need men in our life, men and women, mentors. It's really important. Cool. Okay, practical. We've got 22 minutes. Awesome. Here's some practical tips for you. Number one, when you're sharing the gospel, when you're going to go and talk to someone, don't be weird. Okay, don't be a weirdo. Just be you. And I get sometimes when we're nervous, we say strange things. I do that. I've done that on planes. I've stood up on the plane, and just as I've introduced myself, I've thought, oh my goodness, I can't believe I just said that, because I was a bit nervous. So if you can, don't be weird. Just be yourself. Just be yourself. God will use you just the way you are. Okay, smile. It's so good to smile. Some Christians look like they suck lemons all day. Smile. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. We need to let our faces know that. Smile. Be friendly. Because when you smile, people smile back. Do it tomorrow. Just smile at someone. Just go up to them and smile. They'll smile back. And they'd say, God loves you. It'll be awesome. Now, this here might sound a bit funny, but it's actually, this is serious. Don't smell. Don't smell. Put deodorant on. Clean your teeth. Because if you're sharing the gospel, you might have the most amazing word of knowledge for someone. And it may not get received that well if there's green stuff coming out of your mouth. That's why churches have these. Man, I just heard Holy Ghost so clearly say, don't judge. Don't judge. Don't judge. I just heard in my heart right then, don't judge.